you're painting something that people were not happy where you were painting. You find your piece not buffed, you find your piece burned down. So you went there, and then someone burned your wall.
What?
Burned your wall, like some satellite.
Throwing oil or petrol on it and...
Yeah, I don't even know, because I got come back there with the piece unfinished. I wanted to finish the day after, for example, and they couldn't because some other crew got upset with you because you painted in their spot, and then you basically get your piece set alight.
Wow.
So you go there, your wall is black, like fucking burned.
Killer Keller podcast. KillerKellerOfficial.com.
Street Culture TV.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller podcast, live and direct, central London, or as central as you need to be. And it's a pleasure to have you here. Sharing is caring. Get involved, tell a friend to tell a friend. If you're a newbie, welcome. If you're an oldie, then you know what time it is. Kellervision app, free download, iPhone, Android, for all the sport and art, street culture and more.
House sponsors the mighty GK Nifty Heads have a massive 100,000 play-to-earn NFTs to give away to the streets. Just hit the link in the description or go to gknifty.com and get ready for HODL Wars Summer 2024.
We go international around these places, and nothing gives me great pleasure than to reconversate. I say reconversate because he met me when I did my first ever piece back in God knows 5-6 years ago. Perhaps nah, less than that even. Naples Stand Up, a pedigree from Italy and creating waves over here in the UK for a good while now. PS is far in the building.
How you doing, man?
How are you?
Yeah, good, yes.
It was such a random moment. Obviously, we'd met before and you recited when it was and everything. It was like to the wire, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a while ago. We met in this spot, and then I was just painting a piece, and then the guy at the shop said, "Oh, be careful with that guy, you know, he's painting his first piece, mind him, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Yeah, man, more than welcome." And then I think that's what we met. Mm. But I think I knew already about your beatbox stuff, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, good days, good old days.
It was kind of a good old days.
6 years ago or something.
I know, that's what I was trying to calculate. As I was kind of introduced, and I thought to myself, yeah, well, actually, that does kind of pair up right. Maybe like 5 years ago, right?
Probably, yeah. It was a time where I actually started painting again, because my career has been more like a up and down sort of. I stopped and started so many times. More the time that I've been stopping than the time I've been painting.
Why is that?
Life. So it's, complicated life. Movement between Italy to other countries, different life, different lifestyle, I would say, sort of. Let me tell you this, right? If you go to a party on Saturday, you don't go to painting on Sunday. First of all.
Right, right. This is in London. This is London or both?
No. This is before. So I start painting in my sort of early, like teenager, but then obviously when you're a teenager, of course, you might be in the culture, but also you got all your friends and say, oh, let's go here, let's go there, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you just probably end up painting or maybe not end up painting. All I'm saying is consistency has never been a part of me.
Well, it depends on what side of the consistency you're playing. Right?
Exactly, man. That was the bad consistency.
Yeah.
So but the thing is, from COVID time, it's been the time where I realized that consistency equal, you know, evolution. So that's when I started literally finishing pile of paper, just sketching every day. So every day, I just wanted to evolve, and then I have a lot of time finally. Even the maturity of the approach changed. Like before, it was just a teenager things going out there, bombing station trains and tanks all over the place, etc. I came to London, it was the wow effect of Londoners, so obviously parties, because I always been in that sort of vibe as well. And so graffiti to me never really always clashed with party scenes, because it was more like a dance sort of scenes where I was into. I used to work in clubs, for example. I've been a visual artist in club, in projections, etc. So I've always been that part, that was also part of my life. When I went to London, obviously the capital of parties, right? Let's go here, let's go there, let's go X or Y, or let's go Fabric, blah blah blah. So as well, the obviously I love hip hop, so but also that is a part of my life. So I don't regret doing whatever I've done. But I'm really happy that now I found my sort of consistency.
You've just hit so many markers on my kind of theories of the whole thing. We met 5 years ago, and you're right, time flies. It's what you do with that time, isn't it? And somehow, it's like going to the gym in a way, because before you know it, you've done, 3 weeks of every morning training, and you don't notice your progression, your flexibility and your strength and your agility. But it's kind of the same with graph or anything that you apply repetition to, isn't it? Yeah. Time flies in a way.
Exactly. I think, yeah, it's sort of the same thing. It's like the routine. So the good routines, you get into that sort of good routines. You don't want to do it because it's hard work, right? Graffiti is hard work. Mm. Because you wake up, you need to be on time, because otherwise people get you the spot. You don't have even the space to paint. You bring in a massive bag of cans, and then you just step up and down a ladder day.
Yeah.
So that is literally a day of work. So if you get over that thing and say, yeah, but that's what I love, so I need to do this thing. And then you do it once, you do it twice, and then that's what you do. You just carry on doing it. And then I know it sounds strange, but the graffiti is not... I don't make a living out of it. For me, it's like another day of work after the work that I already do.
Mm.
So it's never, I never really relax. I never really.
It creates idle time, doesn't it? And then you end up doing things like partying, going drinking too much, and, hanging out with the wrong crowd. And that's kind of, it's finding things to do in the time that's important.
That's what I mean. That my younger age, that was it. Mm. So the fact that obviously I have a crew, and the crew were really committed on painting, et cetera, et cetera. But also have another kind of crew, and the guys who were in the streets, and it's not exactly the same sort of crew. So graffiti took me out a lot of problems that I could have had being in the streets.
Really?
So it took me out and also put me in the right path. But because you're young, you don't know what the right path is. Obviously, you can fall in addictions, you can fall in, crimes. And so I come from a bit of a, rough place when I was in Italy. Sorry, where I'm from, in Naples. So
let's talk about that. Wow. So growing up in Naples, give me some background on that. What was it like in childhood?
So you need to imagine that where I started, it was the late 90s. No Instagram, no social media. No, the only things we had, things that we see around, like we literally been pilgrimage to walls and say, oh my God, look at that wall. So I come from the outskirts of Naples. So we got like a couple of Hall of Fames with these old names that used to paint there.
Who were the names?
So we have people like, you might know them, because they all turn into artists at the end of the day. There are some names like Mo, some names like Lucky, Fun. We have these legends. For us, it was legends. They really, really never really get to the high level of graffiti, but for us it was just amazing pieces.
Like
it
kings,
was also
yeah.
the only piece. Yes, that was the king of our scene. And then there were got crew like KTM, Polo, Shawan. Shout out to Polo Shawan, actually.
Oh, come on, international
so
crew.
That
yeah.
was literally the top of the top of what we could have seen, and that was to see the beginning of seeing trains painted. Because we living in the area called the Vesuvian area. So we have this train called Circumvesuviana. And then you could start seeing all the train painting, etc. So that gets into that sort of, I want to do that.
The Vesuvian, what's it called? The train of...
circumvesuviana, which yeah. means that it surrounds all the Vesuvian area. So okay. you imagine the Vesuvius okay. a volcano, and then there is a train that go all around it, and then there was obviously a lot of graffiti writers all around the Vesuvius.
So it's like a circle line, basically.
Exactly. yeah, Vesuvius circle line.
Wow.
So. So yeah, so that's the beginning of the career was not knowing nothing. So you didn't even know the people, right? So everyone was unknown. All you could see is this amazing stuff on the wall, and you say, "Shit, I want to do that. I yeah. really want to do that." I was so impressed about all of that, and then I thought there was some links to some music I start to hear, which I really love. It was hip hop, and then I start seeing something so cool on the floor. There was breakdancing. And I said, this thing is so cool. Are they connected or not? We have no idea.
Right.
We have no idea. And then all wow. of a sudden, I started connecting all the dots. I said, I love hip-hop, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. It's hip-hop, so I love it. I want to do it. And then naturally, obviously, I went to do graffiti because I think,
graphic designing and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm a visual person. And then obviously, I went to that. I'm not going to lie to you. I break my arm once. I was a kid. I was trying to break dance. I basically like follow my own arms. I smashed my fucking hands.
Damn.
And the funniest thing was I broke this thing here. So the only things I broke here, then I had this massive steel.
So the middle
here.
Finger?
So basically I was walking like this.
With your finger in?
yeah.
So you broke the middle finger and you have it sticking up the whole time? That's absolutely...
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
like some Mr. Bean so weird, comedy. Yeah.
so I think I said, okay, I've done that.
Yeah. But made enough enemies.
Career
right?
Yeah, ending yeah, there, yeah, yeah. right there. And then the jokes aside, I just went into graffiti. But even that was difficult because who does graffiti? So I met my crewmate into the gym.
What?
So this guy, I used to do Taekwondo.
Did you?
So Taekwondo, yeah, I've done that for 11 years.
Don't fuck with fur, man. It'll have you on the floor.
So I met this guy and he was in Taekwondo with me. We got this protection, right? So we got these chest protections. And one day he came down to the gym with this chest protector and he saw some graffiti on it. I remember it was like a sort of a character with a spray can, a bit of a, you know, in a stand in a pose. And I said, oh my God, I think I found someone who loves graffiti.
Yeah, yeah,
I was
yeah.
so excited because I didn't know shit. I didn't know nobody. I didn't know nothing about it. All I know is what I saw.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went to the change room and then I said, Ernesto, it's called this guy. I said, Ernesto, so what is it that you got on your thing? Is that graffiti? And they say, yeah, what? You are into it. And they say, of course I'm into it. Look. And then I've got my black book in the back. Because all I wanted to do is a chance to someone to do it.
And you have so, got already.
Yes,
ready
I
to
am
show
already
you.
There. I have my fucking black book in my gym things, and I put it off, and then I put it on, and then I said, "Look, this is what I do." And it was on my tag, and my tag was corn because Taekwondo. So that was my very first tag, and then basically what we did is obviously we shared this. You know, passion, and then all of a sudden we decided to do our first wall, because for us it was just sketching because we have no idea, we have no money, we didn't know how even start. So one afternoon after school, so
how old are you this time at this point?
It was 1998, so maybe I was. Can't do math. Maybe I was 15, 14,
mid-teens.
Something like that.
Okay,
yeah. I sort of teenage. So I had a garage with cars in there. All cars, not rich. So I said, Ernesto, I think what we need to do is, first of all, convince my dad to do some shit on the wall. Because obviously he had no idea what graffiti was. And then for me, it was just, oh, can I just damage your garage?
This is like an amazing scene that's out of the cinema of like two right. characters like just... Working out how to graffiti, I love it.
Yeah, so I convinced my dad. So one afternoon, I said, Dad, move the car because I need to paint that wall. I said, yeah, okay. We went in the garage, me and Ernesto, this guy, Mr. Mache, shout out Mache.
Big up Mache.
And
get it in.
We start sketching with the pen. We took a pen out of a pocket and then because we didn't know that you could sketch with
and there was a lot of paint, you know, you had to kind of work with
it. We only have three we only have three soft can, three, four can. I remember it was like a yellow and purple piece. So we start sketching in the on the wall, but it didn't work because obviously it was all like powdery. So the pens are not working. So it takes an hour just to sketch that things with a ballpoint pen.
Really?
We have no idea, man. We literally never seen someone doing graffiti before. So we have no idea.
Wow.
So we did this sketch, and then I remember, say, so it was a corn, and then it was a spray can that looked like a mug because you came out with, and then there was this eye called Yeko. So that was his first tag, and that's the rest of the
wow.
history.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's the early beginnings, man. Like, you mentioned there about just prior, you mentioned the street life and the graffiti street life being two very separate things. For Naples, Italy as a whole, they've got a different code of conduct, haven't they, for street life?
There is, yeah. So sometimes, path can cross easily. So we used to hang around with some guys that come from, we call it Bronx, uh-huh. basically. It was some, as you in English, you would say council flats, estate, yeah. big estate.
Yeah.
They used to call basically Bronx.
Wow.
So you could go up there and find people that used to break dance next to a barrel with fire in there. And maybe the same guy, it was the same guy that was probably after an hour doing a robbery to the train station right
what?
There and come back and then living that street life, drug dealer over there, and then maybe some Hall of Fame with just fresh graffiti painted by them as well. So that was my youth, sort of being in that so for me that was my the beginning. So
it's crazy. Confusion. It was, that confusion? Because, like, you know, you've got the hardened criminality and then they'll just be doing some head spins or...
That was the coolest. That was almost the coolness of it because it felt like I was literally in the Bronx in the 70s. It's the same thing.
Yeah, same
you
energy.
Can imagine these terrible estates. And then with people, they're just hanging around and then really dark spots. And then there were people painting there. And then it was tough, man. It was a rough area. And then we knew that. But we never really involved too much into bad stuff. What we wanted to do is design letters and then create style and create, you know, surprise for people that wake up the day after and say, whoa, what is that? And then all the people come down and say, oh, you know, Sfera spending this, you know, guys spending this, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not going to lie, sometimes we were in this sort of environment. And then the same thing, the same times, you're painting something that people were not happy where you were painting. You find your piece not buffed. You found your piece burned down. So you went there and then someone burned your wall.
What?
Burned your wall. I said, so set a light.
What, just for an oil, a petrol on it and...
Yeah, I don't even know because I got to come back there with the piece unfinished. I wanted to finish the day after, for example, and they couldn't because some other crew got upset with you because you painted in their spot and then you basically get your piece set a light.
Wow.
So you go there, your wall is black, like fucking burned. And then
that is the Bronx. That is the Bronx right there. That's New York in the early 80s.
I can tell you the crazy stories like that, man. That actually, it was tough. This is the same guys that now we're friends and maybe some of them are in my crew. But when you're crazy kids from that sort of part of the world and then you just behave like everyone else behave around you. And then if it's rough, then you behave rough and then you need to start behaving like them. But that's it.
But that taekwondo came in handy.
Nah, man. The taekwondo, actually, that's almost the opposite. You sort of learn a lot of how to behave because taekwondo is about rules. And so realistically, what you do is just try to never really get into a fight because there is a sort of respect to the opponent. So it sort of gives that self-control instead of being aggressive. Mm-hmm. So we never been... I'm telling you all this crazy story, but scary story, if you like. But we always been the guys that only care about doing good graffiti we couldn't, but we tried.
Yeah.
At the beginning, obviously, you know, you were at the young age, and but we were fully
in. Yeah. You think it's interesting the dynamic of like the martial art there being one of discipline, restraint, method, and practice and chill, but then the other side of your life in the streets is really the complete opposite.
It was. At the beginning was a sort of like discipline and then crazy stuff, because the beginning of my career was completely legal walls. Mm-hmm. So we start painting in the street like everyone else, starts tagging in the street or doing crazy spot like on top of the bridge. How did that guy get there? Mm-hmm. Oh, we need to go higher, obviously. And then truck sides and then obviously trains. Mm-hmm. I remember we used to live, as I told you, we used to hang around this neighborhood where it was the train station next to it. So we basically hang around on the station and we're just waiting for the train to come into the station and stop. But we used to jump on the track and then tag the trains.
Oh, and back then jumps all day, boom, boom, boom.
Back jumps was a big thing that we used to do quite a lot. There was so much adrenaline in that. That was amazing. So we started with that thing. So that was our crazy sort of beginning of, you know, introduction to graffiti. But to get back to your point, the discipline, it's something that now has saved my graffiti career, if you want to call it, because, it makes you like a samurai. Like your discipline every single week, you go paint, no way out. So you want to do it Friday sketching, Saturday paint, sorting out, Sunday graffiti, and that's another week after that, and then after that. So that's why I was talking about the consistency I was talking before. Maybe that comes from that sort of discipline.
Yeah, without question it does. That's such an interesting angle, and again it fills the well of energy that can only be one of similar when you're practicing a martial art or practicing a spirituality. Mm. When you're practicing learning a craft, whether it's work experience or apprenticeships, it's like it's really important that you zone in and make the method repeat, and so it feels like the norm.
Mm. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's interesting the way I'm really, really grateful of the fact that I don't know what sort of God that tell me that I have to be more disciplined. I think what it is, apart from that, I think it's the maturity, something I said before, it's about the approach that you have to graffiti and take things a little bit more seriously. I think it comes with the age, I think, and because I never been the guy that, so all my crew, he's not making a living out of graffiti, me included. We don't, everyone does the weirdest job, I tell you right now. So one of the guy, he drives a ferry boat somewhere in Italy. Another guy.
Amazing.
I swear to God, another guy is a dentist. He's a top level dentist. He does speeches and he's in the, he's in speeches, etc. Congress meetings and that. I am probably the closest one to one is works in Louis Vuitton or something like that. I am the closest one to graffiti because I work with visual. But yeah, that's so we never really get totally taken our life. So we kept that as a passion. So that in a way is good because you never really make a life out of graffiti, so it keeps as a passion. But the other side, you might be taken out from your graffiti life just because you got other things to do. Mm. So this is why the consistency and the maturity of graffiti came out with that sort of discipline afterwards, because I sit down and said, what do you want to do? You want to actually follow what you want to do, or just want to carry on and just be inactive or inconsistent? Mm. So I think the discipline, it really works for me because it's like giving me, taking me out, so get me out of a lot of like stupid things, right? Because you go to a party or maybe you do a night out and then the day after you just don't do the things that you like the most, right? So I said, no, I decided to do that thing. So one day I wake up, I remember, so, and then I thought, I'm going to do this this weekend and next weekend and next weekend and next weekend. If you see my, I don't know, social whatever, so or you would see that that kind of consistency. So I post, for example, a thing every week. That means that every week I've been painting, and I'm probably this one of the things I'm more proud because
to say that, and you can see the
evolution
of it. Yeah, it can be quite demanding for people to kind of level up and find that discipline, isn't it? It's the small incremental things you do. It's not actually the reward of seeing, you know, an archive of weekly pieces is amazing. And it's a kickback, it's a reward, but it's actually the little things you do, isn't it, to create that discipline?
I think it's about how much you got it. So how much. So if you really love it, then you do it. I don't think there is too much. It's not difficult, really. It's not difficult. It's about you. So you want to do it, and then you actually got there and do it. You're right. I think it's nice to see that sort of evolution. I hate my old pieces, for example. Everything I do, and then it's old for me. It's 2 weeks old. It's already old.
Really?
So So for me, it's always been important the evolution of something. So I'm really, really keen on making the letters towards the perfection. And for me, obviously, I'm not an artist, so all I can do is just to do my best to shape them every time I draw, every time I sketch, try new shapes. I'm not going to lie. It's last year, for example, it's been a bit of a moment of a crisis for style, because I couldn't find any other way out. I couldn't find any evolution for something I was doing. So in my mind, I was doing every time similar things. But I think I was in a bit of state with my mind, and there was big changes in my life that I think take me out for that, you know, sort of inspiration path. But I'm happy to say that I'm back.
Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And that shit happens a lot, you know. Tyson said, you know, a winning boxer is a happy boxer, and it's kind of the same thing with... You're doing that a lot today.
I don't know why. It's so big, man. It's splashing in my face all the time.
We keep it big and splashy on a podcast.
Yeah.
But it's that sweet spot where you're at your happiest and carefree, and you're able to just do what you feel responsive to that affects your, you know, your well-being in your life, isn't it?
It's true. I remember once, it was years ago, like decades ago. So I painted this thing. It was completely black. And then almost I outlined. This outline was really strong. A friend of mine came across, and then he was behind me. It was like a graffiti jam. And then he said, tell me about your life. What are you doing? I think you're struggling with your life right now, isn't it? And then I said, yeah, I was going through like a bit of a moment in my life. And then I was a bit, obviously, dark and sad, probably in my mind. And then he said, yeah, Jesus, I am. Yeah, I'm not very good. How do you know? And then I said, because you're painting that. It was like a sort of gothic letters, a bit like LA. All I'm saying is, it's true, the fact that the more I am relaxed, the more I conduct a linear life, the more I sit down and then I do the things I love, and it goes well. So the more you, obviously, you I might say something obvious, but it's really true. So if you go through a moment of your life, and then probably you focus on other things, and then that will mirror your graffiti attitude. It will mirror your graffiti outcome as well, because you go over there and paint something completely dark, for example, or I don't know, something quickly because you want to go home, or maybe paint always the same thing because you don't want to. you know that it's right for you, so you go painting, but you haven't prepared nothing. So you go there and paint the same shit that you done like last week, or spray cans leftover stuff, and you don't really put all yourself in there. But that's also life, isn't it? No one has got like a linear path.
And it's also graph as well, in a way. There's something really New York-y about, you know, a dusty throw-up that doesn't have much care and due attention to the 3D or the outline, or, you know, it doesn't hold much value other than its presence. Kind of mirrors maybe some of the people's moods when they're doing it.
I think, yeah, it's different. I think bombing is always like the battle between stylers and bombing. I think a good once I remember one guy, one graffiti writer, I'm not going to name it, but it's top level. He said, you see a good writer through his throw-ups. That's where all your styles come out, because it's just a simple line, but the essence can be just in a simple line with some color in it. Doesn't mean that whatever you do, like you use 20 colors or 20 cans, that's better than that thing. So you can just leave a tag, and that tag has got million styles in one, or maybe that tag can be declined in 10 styles. So that guy's got 10 styles, just tagging. So that's also something to consider. I do styles now, but I really understand the importance of being able to do everything. So I think, yes, it is just a line, dusty line, et cetera, but if you go style, my friend, that will come out, even if it's just a tag.
Yeah. It starts out from inception. Block letters as well. You know, there's something, again, like you're saying about the lines and making sure they're correct and making sure it's right, you know?
It's about the attitude of things. Me and my crew, I was always obsessed about the sort of perfection of everything. There was people that just go that out there and pay much respect to what people they're just bombarding every day, not caring too much. But this is probably one of the reasons why I do more legal wars now, especially when I'm now in UK. Now it's 10 years now, I don't do many things legal, or maybe, no comment. But I do more walls because my attitude is more like dedicated to the perfection, or at least I try. Yeah, it's not, nothing's perfect. But this is what my attitude is. But then there is people that care more like quantity, for example. Yeah. And then it's, you know, it's the other part of the game, just bombarding and put your name out there. And then just be up all the time, et cetera, et cetera, which is something, you know, also amazing. And then, the adrenaline of it is just something priceless. Yeah. But,
and again, do it your way. You know what I mean? Like, big up all the bombers, big up all the, you know, the artists, 100%, you know?
100%, man. 100%. If you see just my walls, so your approach, you understand that comes from that bombing approach, because I don't paint straight away on the ladder. I paint so... Okay, I'm short, obviously, but on my approach, it's always like on the level. So it's like you're throwing a bombing up there, like a throw up. So that's the same that you know, when you put it on the wall, it's not like I take a ladder and then I create something on the top and on the right. My approach is always quick, but then obviously now because I do style of white, sort of white style or whatever style is called, I don't even know why what it is, but it's got that sort of approach where you start in front of you, quick lines, etc. So it's all good. Bombing, styling, man, graffiti, just amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it? Do you still sketch?
I do. I love to do more. So that's a very painful question for me, because I've always been living in this mental drama where I know that I need to do more, I know I need to draw, to sketch more, but I always end up being
distracted,
sketching through lines here and there, and then just go there with the sketch, which is still a decent sketch. It's got all these letters, all these loops, etc. I don't like to improvise too much. I like to because I care a lot about the evolution of what I do. So I do follow a sketch. You find me out there painting a sketch. Painting a wall. Mm-hmm. But I always start in my sketch. It's very rare that I go there freestyle, just because for me, even that little loop that I've done it, it's something new. So it got to be wherever I was planning to have it.
Oh, it's got to be right, especially when you're adding something new in.
Yeah, it's like...
I feel you. Whoa.
You want to... I know, obviously, you know, people might think, oh, I can do freestyle because obviously I draw too much, I draw a lot, and I'm almost jealous because I would love to, for example, draw much more than I do because I don't actually sketch that much and I would love to do it.
And you're keen, yeah, yeah.
Crazy, man. Like, I remember last year, this is so embarrassing, but I'll tell you anyway. last year, I've been invited to this project, which is sponsored by Aerolac and from some guys that do call this project called Your Favorite Artist from the page called Sprayzem. Sprayzem.
Nice.
They sent me some Aerolac. Marcus, like a massive pack or Aerolac t-shirt and all of that.
Whoa.
I use them not too much, the Marcus, I have to say. That's what I'm saying, I'm embarrassed. Obviously, I did use them, but because I don't draw too much, I felt like, oh my God, this guy is so nice, so kind. And then I still have got these things brand new in the little cupboard.
Yeah.
So obviously, I did use them, so... But that tells you how much I would love to sketch a bit more, but I just don't have the time. That's the thing, right? But the job I do is proper draining because it's all about thinking, solving problems, and then what you do after that, you just want to relax, sit on the sofa, maybe give a call to your mates in Italy so just relax. So recently I bought my new turntable, so that's one of my passions. But I'm a big fan of scratching, the scratching scene. So I always wanted to do this thing, and I finally did. So when I finished my work, I got my little routine. It's not graffiti routine, it's actually a turntable scratching routine.
Wow, yeah. That's so sick. Yeah. I love that you did. This is exactly what it's about. It's about...
Try not to splash this thing.
No, you're cool. It's participation in the smallest or biggest of forms. Like, you go big in the Hall of Fames with pieces, but that's probably just as important as being in your bedroom learning a particular scratch. It's the whole method of it, isn't it?
It is. I think you touch the main point, or many people don't understand out there, or maybe young generation. Actually, I don't even want to say young generation because it could be old generation as well, the approach.
Mm-hmm.
So the bedroom.
Yeah.
So that's where you learn. Your freaking bedroom is where all your style is, all your knowledge is, you know, it piles up every day. And then when you see guys that don't sketch or don't strive for their style, you just find them to the pub and then having a pint and then loads of whatever they do, and then they're trying to sketch because they're going to paint. And then I thought, is this your best moment to sketch? Maybe it is. But I think the essence of it is the bedroom. Even you can see this.
It's true, man.
When you see, even I see these things. We were shy, man. We were really shy. We tend to hide our graffiti because we know they were not very good, because there was not enough bedroom time to sketch and sketch and sketch. We knew we were not ready yet to make the big appearance in the world. So this thing has changed. It's changed because I can see a lot of youngsters hitting spots like Stockwell, where you go to Stockwell and then you can see these amazing piece, like people like Chips, shout out Chips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big up Chips, yeah.
Yes.
All the South Lot, yeah, man. Fucking
and
right.
Then you go there and then you see also, you know, some newbie coming in the game, always more than welcome to the graffiti scene, uh-huh. Of course. Uh-huh. Welcome on board. Good luck.
Yeah.
But the thing is...
Oh, Tight Solo 1 as well, of course, yeah.
100%, 100%, keeping the spot right there.
Yeah, keeping it nice.
And, yeah, and then I'm surprised because I was like, shit, I'm embarrassed, man. I'm never going to paint that. I'm going to see... When I was a kid, we literally go there and just stay there and then look at this piece, take a picture, go home.
Maybe never think, once considering you're just going to blast a piece when you're not ready.
Man, there was no way. There was no way even to talk to them. And to me, I look at these people, they were giants. You know what I mean? They can't even if I speak, they couldn't even hear me because they were so big comparing to me. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Nowadays, you send a fucking direct message... And then you're in touch with the biggest king in the scene. You know, I guess then it is different. So the approach, it was completely different. And I think, I don't know if what I prefer, because now everything is more sort of accessible, isn't
yeah.
it? So you go the guy right there, you can ask him a question, you can say... oh, I love your style. Oh, you know, and then you can see the guy that you would never ever seen it before, right? Because he's in Australia. So people for, I don't know, TMD crew yeah, ask yeah. you, I don't know, best of like kings.
Yeah.
And how would you see them into early 2000s? It's impossible. So see, it's about going back to that bedroom thinking. It's about knowing where your level, be aware of where you are, and then, you know, just be humble and then follow your path slightly, step by step, not trying to do too much. We've always been keeping our heads down. We were nobody, we probably still nobodies, but all I know is we've done the right thing of just keeping our heads down and then just trying to evolve as much as possible our letters, really, because this is what important to me, not even the spot or anything. If you see my pieces, many times I paint in Stockwell because I don't really care about where it is, because maybe tomorrow is gone, and then if we paint somewhere else, it's to me it's the same thing. I don't care. There are writers that really care about that location, that the shot that they take, the picture, because they want that shot in that particular spot, etc. But To me, what counts is more like the letters or the styles that you bring to the wall, and then I want people to see that more than anything else. So.
Yeah, you come to mention it. There is a sort of clientele that goes to Stockwell, isn't there? Mm. There's a certain kind of writer.
There are, I think, so for me, Stockwell was, even when I was already in London, I said, oh my God, I don't want to go to Stockholm. There's so much good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to drop a piece there and then feeling ashamed.
Yeah, even before it blew up, even before they rebuilt it, it was like that.
So my first piece in Stockholm was literally just on the old spot before they redone mm-hmm. it. And then there you go, another long moment of not painting. I didn't paint all, probably 2019, I didn't paint because I was trying to get married and... I saved some money and I was busy doing other stuff. So, and then the next time I painted Stockwell, it was already with a new pit. And then for me, it was like the mecca of graffiti because there was all my favorite stuff over there. And then, but at the time I was still living in Brick Lane, around Brick Lane. So for me, my wall was, the wall that bring me back seriously into graffiti was the Allen Gardens wall.
Yeah.
Because I used to live in Cheshire Street.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just so easy to get there. And this is the same things that made me get in trouble with graffiti in London. Because I would be half time with Low and stuff. So they...
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
So what happened is I was painting a wall, but it was sort of night and I was all like black, like hoodies, and there was some crackheads and it didn't look great. So where I was painting, it was basically behind the Nomadic Gardens that moment. So okay. I was completely fully aware that the spot was legal, but You know, in the dark, everything looked dark, dodgy.
Yeah, dodgy.
So there was these two vigilantes, whatever they called. So they came around and they said the usual stupid questions. Oh, you got paid for it, mate, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
And then I said, no, I don't get paid, man. This is just what I like to do, blah, blah, blah. No, don't worry, don't worry. We're not here for you. We're not here for you. And then they left. So, and I kept painting. They kept, it looks really dark. And it looks that sort of environment that you're going to, you know. It just looked dodgy. But they came back and then I said, oh, I assume you got permission for it. And then I said, yeah. Obviously, I didn't have any permission for it. But I just know they were sort of legal / tolerated. I didn't know. So I went, yeah, someone else got it. And then, oh, so you don't have your permission. I said, yeah, but don't worry, that's just legal. And then, you can ask someone, I don't know, man, just let me paint, basically.
Yeah. Leave me alone, man. Yeah.
So there were some workers in the spot because there was basically just a delete, completely cancel the Nomadic Garden. They were just making some, like, fucking flats there, like for young professional probably. So I said, mate, I don't know, my friend, just ask them, the workers in there, just please let me finish this. So that was just literally after work, pain, relaxing. And so what happened is I had something a little bit sharp with me, and to open the paint, so I bring something that is not very legal to bring. And they spot it, and then they say, oh, you got this on you. Oh, don't move. Don't call the police, blah, blah, blah. So I got arrested. And I've got down the path of, you know, engaging with law and lawyers because I have this object with me I shouldn't have with me.
Wow.
And, you know, there was still this big awareness, obviously, which is right, about, you know, bringing and carrying them weapons with you, etc. But to me, that was just a tool to open a paint because I don't walk around with weapons.
Yeah.
But obviously, they didn't see the fact that that was, to me, a tool to open a tin of paint and then painting. But obviously, not having a television, not being aware of all this knife crime, all of that. So I didn't know. And I feel ignorant to be living that situation.
Wow.
So I have a flashback about fucking seeing my mom and then what's going to happen with my job, et cetera, et cetera. So
that's brutal, man. That is brutal.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. How long did that last for? That must have taken
a year. It lasted a year. So they bring me to this, obviously, cells. And so I had to spend some time with lots of freedom.
Really?
And then basically came out, and then I have to bring this lawyer in to sort out things because I thought this is bullshit. So it must be someone who's got permission for it. So I've asked people around in the scene, so people they've been in their spot already.
Yeah.
And then I found out that some of the guys knew someone else that could get me the permission because I wanted to prove that spot was actually legal.
Wow, that's a real hard, that was a challenge, right?
So, yeah, it was an economic challenge. It was also a personal challenge because for me, imagine still being a foreign, never really dealt with
the British law,
like low criminal stuff around here, and I'm not part of it. Yeah. And then all I wanted to do is once again paint.
Yeah.
So I have to put a lawyer in. So this lawyer have to write a letter and then we have to find permission. Thank God we found the permission through a guy called Jim Vision, obviously super famous graffiti artist. Shout out Jim Vision, wicked man. Thank you.
Hold tight, Jim. Wow.
So he got me the permission and so we were able to prove that was a legal spot. But obviously I got down because the knife and that. So I still have to deal with some stuff.
Well, like you're not allowed to carry a knife and fork around in your your packed lunch or something, is it?
Nah, apparently not. Apparently not. Right, so you basically there was these things. Obviously, it's wrong. So you can't walk around with a knife on you.
No, and, of course.
But I wasn't sort of, you know, meaning to carry that. It was just because I was so comfortable that my flat was there and the wall was there. And then I felt like I was going downstairs, basically, yeah. not walking around London. So, but they didn't know, right? So I felt, I relaxed too much.
Yeah.
So I relaxed too much. I was so relaxed because he was just literally downstairs.
Can happen, man. It happens easy. And moreover, you aren't, you know, because you're not got a TV, because you're not savvy with the law and you're probably, you're not watching the news, it's like those kind of, those key moments in social London, you miss. I do it all the time, bro. Like, I don't watch any news.
I felt so stupid. That's the thing. I felt really stupid because I thought, as soon as, you know when you see, you don't know nothing, but then you see something and then you see it everywhere. So you see that knife crime awareness yeah. everywhere, but I wasn't aware.
Because you were just going up and down your from your house to the wall to work, and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Basically, when you come out crazy. From Cheshire Street, there is that bridge.
Yeah.
There, look over the train station. Yeah. So what you do is do the bridge, get down to that little shitty spot with all the graffiti, etc. There were some hoardings in wall, like a sort of wooden wall sort of thing.
Mm.
And because I think there was a meeting of style London organized years ago, so someone kept holding up this permission to paint over there. So, but no one had this permission. They were just tolerated. So I felt was going to my garage and 20 years ago and painting a piece because it was so, I was so familiar with the place. And I didn't walk around London with something on me. I literally went downstairs with something on me. Do you know what I mean?
It's so interesting to hear that story within a case that arguably a lot of graph writers just take it as a given that if a place is tolerated, then you're not going to have any problems in one strand or another.
I'm not going to lie. I remember when I got caught, then that was almost Christmas time.
Yeah.
And so obviously I was ready to go to Christmas to in Italy, spend the time with my families and that. Obviously I didn't say nothing because I didn't want to worry them. But I do remember when I came back, because I came back for New Year's Eve, there was these people blocking someone else in the same spot, painting the same spot. I think there was some sort of land sheriff people that was just patrolling that area. But literally, someone just painting on some wooden wall. And then they would, I think, because they spot me, and then they try to, do they make commission about
whatever they called? You were an example, but there was more that was happening.
That was literally completely job worth, man. Literally, I have no idea why, but I think it, as I said, just all the scenes look dodgy, and then that thing on the floor, it just made me look bad in their eyes. So they called the police, and then the rest is history, man. It's just thank God now it's all gone.
Thank God that's gone. That's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually it's something that you don't expect, and then it's not even doing something illegal. It's something that, so you if you know that you're doing something illegal, so like you hit in a train and then you get caught, but you knew already.
Yeah.
The surprise of me was going downstairs to paint, relaxing after work little wall, and then you get caught doing something that you think is legal. That's when you go nuts and they say, "What the hell is happening to me?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. That would just drive me mad, man. That would drive me mad.
Anyway, man, forget
that. Yes, let the past be the past, bro. Yeah. What's the future? What's the future, Spur? Talk to me about the future.
I think future plans. I think I can't probably. I've got a few things lined up. Things that give me a little bit of happiness and surprise. There are a couple of projects that are coming up with some famous brand. I can't really say. Nothing, but there might be a few things in the pipeline that
fantastic.
Come out. And what I want to do is just carry on the way that I'm doing at the moment, just keep it consistency and what I'm doing, just try to evolve my style. And then, to be honest, I don't have a lot of plans. So to me, this is already a big achievement, the fact that after 20 years of painting, I'm still out there and painting. I can see people, stopping. I can see people stopping because of life. So they made them stop or life changing.
Yeah.
So I'm still out there. To me, this is already a big achievement because, as I said, Yeah, well, I'm trying my best to do as much as I can. I don't have kids at the moment, and so I'm just banging Hamburg all pieces like one by one.
I'm so glad you just said pieces there. So I'm just banging and hammering.
No. So that's just my bad language. Yeah, I try to speak my
metaphorically thing. Speaking, of course.
No, I just said I don't have any kids, but also banging. I understand that. Yeah, be careful. But yes, no, as I said, for me, just great to be still up there, and then just try to do as much as I can. Life goes on, and then this is the time, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen next year. You don't know what's going to happen next 2 years.
It's truth.
So all I can do is, all I can do is just keep in consistency every week, try to paint every week. I work 9 to 5, and then all I've got is Saturday and Sunday. I live on my own as well. So Saturday is dealing with everything happening in your flat, in your building, in your life, and then find a spot to paint on Sunday.
Let your mind go, you know what I mean? So, my brother, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. I've been a fan since we first met all that time ago.
Likewise, brother.
My brother, likewise. Thank you so much. Spurring the building. Hey, see, there you go. More intel, more information, more surprises, fun thrills and activities in the world of Graph Writer. Sfer in the building. Listen, Killer Keller Podcast, Al Owens out of fashion, all right? Sharing is caring. Tell a friend to tell another one to tell a friend. Crime don't pay, but neither do they. You stay lucky, people. Don't talk to anyone I wouldn't. Peace!
That was sick. What a story.